Well, God bless each and every one of you. What a joy it is to be back here at Highland Avenue. Brother Clint, we are so glad that you're doing physically well, and we see that you're spiritually prospering as well. We just rejoice in knowing that that you're out of the hospital and all is going well with you. So good to see all of you. I tell you what, my heart has been strangely warmed as we've worshiped together and sung those beautiful songs today. Brother Chris, thank you for leading us in this time of worship. We appreciate all that you're doing for the Lord here on this holy hill, and to see all that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in the Highland Avenue family. You are the bride of Christ, so as your associational missionary, that makes me your bridesmaid. And I am tickled pink to help you every way that we can to help you carry that light and that torch into this community. We are so very grateful to you, and all the very best. Our family and our associational family send their love. Since I've seen you last, I've had me a little grandbaby, and we're just thrilled about that. I happen to have a picture of her if y'all want to see her, but we're just tickled to see our family prospering as well. Many of y'all have known me since 1987, so that little baby that came here with us from Birmingham is in Florida with his family. That little girl that was delivered over at St. Margaret's Hospital is in Atlanta with her family, and she's the one that had the child just recently. And that little boy that came, the second generation that came and was born there at Baptist South, is an intelligence officer in the United States Navy in Hawaii, suffering for Jesus out there. So we thank you for praying for our family, and what a joy it is to be with you today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and going to verse 12. This morning, I want to address the subject, doing whatever it takes to have a whatever it takes spirit. Doing whatever it takes to have a whatever it takes spirit. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and telling this story, very familiar to all of us, but may God bless the reading of His Word, and may you always remember that this, the living and the written Word, will change your life. Won't you please stand in honor of the reading of God's message to us today. Chapter 2 of the book of Mark, beginning in verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, you might want to underline that, circle that, highlight that, dream on that, mark it, get it deep into your soul. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why is this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, notice this, Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Let's pause for a moment. Wouldn't you rather Jesus see your faith and ask you why you're thinking these things? Think about that for a moment. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take up your mat and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, now speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you please be seated? I don't know about you, but I've been for the last 18 years going kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Is there a witness? Is anybody else that's struggling with that? I'm an old legal pad guy. I love to write everything down. I still do a lot of writing things down. I I wish I'd had a day timer, but now, you know, you got to have everything sophisticated. My children kind of wanted to get me into the 21st century. And so one Christmas, they got me this smartphone. And I've kind of been fascinated by that. I've learned, finally learned how to use it. I noticed there's a woman that's in this thing, you know. Her name is Siri. Do y'all have Siri? I mean, it's amazing to me what she does. I need to go somewhere and she'll take me there. In a little while, I have a funeral in Roanoke, Alabama, and I'm got myself marked there. Hopefully I'll get to Roanoke, Alabama, not Roanoke, Virginia. But anyway, we'll attempt to get there by way of Siri. I remember when we were up in Georgia, we lived in Woodstock, Georgia, and I just was now getting kind of acquainted with old Siri. And so I decided to ask her a bunch of questions, and I was just kind of fooling around and just kind of throwing out some things. And so I decided I'd witness to her. And I said, Siri, in your personal opinion, what does it take for a person to go to heaven? And she said, Neil, I have just the place. I looked down there. She was taking me downtown Woodstock to hot dog heaven. My kind of girl right here, but, you know, she's going to do whatever it takes in order to help me arrive at my destination. I want to ask you a question today. You have a whatever it takes spirit? If you go over to the Old Testament, you see an old man, 85 years of age, by the name of Caleb, who had a whatever it takes spirit. The Bible says that he served wholeheartedly God. He was totally, completely devoted to Him. Brother Chris kind of led us in that thought here this morning, along with the words from Psalm, that we would lead our hearts devotedly to Him. Jesus said Himself, if any man chooses to come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. I ask you again, do you have a whatever it takes spirit? Are you willing to do whatever it takes in order for the advancement of the kingdom of God here in this Highland Avenue area and beyond? Just yesterday afternoon, we dedicated the new Mixteco Church right here in Montgomery, Alabama. There are 7,000 of the Mixteco tribe that live right here in Montgomery. They were in Mexico, and during the days of the Spaniards annihilated the Aztec tribe and the Mayan tribe, but the Mixtec tribe ran to the hills, and they couldn't fish them out of there. And for centuries, they've been there. In the latter part of the 20th century, they started migrating their way down, and eventually, 7,000 of them made it right here to the river region, and they're in our backyard. And we started ministering as an associational family of churches. We started ministering to them about 11 years ago, and for the first time, hallelujah, we have a church now for them to worship the living God. Amen. Isn't that great? I want you to know, just be proud of this, Montgomery Baptist. It's the first Mixtec Southern Baptist congregation in Alabama and the third in the nation, right here, just a stone's throw from here. What an opportunity to do whatever it takes to advance the gospel to this unreached people group. If you were to look around your area and just physically, geographically look and put you a pin right at Highland Avenue and go out from there, if you were to go to the north, the closest church to you would be Capitol Heights Baptist Church. Southern Baptist-wise, closest church to you would be Capitol Heights Baptist Church. If you were to go to the east, it would be Eastern Hills Baptist Church. If you were to go to the south, it would be St. James Baptist Hope Crossing Church at the corner of Carter Hill and Carter Hill. And if you were to go to the west, it would be either First Baptist or the Central Baptist Church, which is located across the street from the governor's mansion. Those would be the closest proximities. And if you drew a circumference around that area and say, okay, this is my territory, that territory represents 12,500 people in that circle of area. There, where you have a circle of influence, at least geographically, to that community, where you would stand before the Lord one day, if I would say, for that circle of influence of which you have. Are you doing whatever it takes in order to impact the gospel into that community? We deal with so many needs around here in the river region. Crime and poverty and school systems and race issues and consumer religion. We have in this town a Eeyore spirit of people just saying, we ain't never done it that way before. I wish we could, but we can't. I mean, there's just a little bit of Eeyore spirit around us. I got a Hebrew word word for that Eeyore spirit, baloney. We can serve the Lord Jesus, and whether we're 25 or 85, God has given us with the power of His Holy Spirit a whatever it takes spirit to serve Him. Amen? God has called us to such as this. Jesus was preaching at home. Capernaum had become his Galilean base of operation. And there he was preaching one day, as we read in the scriptures. Some people believe that the home that he was at was none other than the mother-in-law of Peter. You remember her from scripture where she was sick and he healed her and she got up and made supper for him. I find it kind of interesting that Jesus was attached to Peter's mother-in-law and Martha and Mary. And every time you see those three ladies, they're cooking something. It's good to be tied with the kitchen committee, you know, and he was. And yet she, perhaps scholars believe, offered her home for this opportunity in which for Jesus to impart the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel to them. The Bible says that he preached to them. Now, this word that is used here was not the word teaching. He wasn't teaching in the synagogue. He was using the word euangelion, where we get our word evangelism from. In other words, he was imparting to them the good news of God. He was telling them about the love of his Father. He was telling them about what the Old Testament taught about salvation. He was reminding them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He was telling them that old story. And somehow in there, my guess is he weaved in what he told old Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He was preaching the good news of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to them and inviting them to repent and believe. Today, dear friends, if you don't know him, all can I describe by Jesus to you. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the lover of our souls. He's our friend. He's our confidant. He's our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. He is the King, and we are His subjects. He is our Savior, and we're the redeemed. Oh, I wish I could describe Him to you this morning. Oh, Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, and He died on Calvary's cross so that you might know Him and know Him abundantly. If you don't know Him, won't you repent and believe and come to faith in Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus was preaching, and the household was full. I can remember preaching a lot of times down in the Caribbean areas and in the South American area. And almost every time I went down there, it was just always, the church was always full. I mean, the pews were full. The floor was full. Preacher, you couldn't even spit. They were just right in front of you. I mean, it was just all around you, you know. And they were hungry for the message of Christ. And these people were hungry for the things and the love of God has portrayed through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And there was four men, the Bible says, that had a friend of theirs who was a paralytic, paralyzed man. And this paralyzed man couldn't get there, and so they were good friends. Let's bring our friend to Jesus. And this is where we see four men who were determined, wholly, completely, totally devoted to see that their friend got into the very presence of Jesus. They had a whatever it takes spirit. Now, I have two languages. One is English and one is Southern. I was born in Alabama and raised in Georgia. So I have dual citizenship. And so I want us to just make this a little bit more personal today. We're going to call these four men some Southern names. We'll call the first man Bubba. We'll call the second man Billy Bob, the third one Daryl, and his other brother Daryl, okay? So we got Bubba, we got Billy Bob, we got Daryl, we got the other brother Daryl, and the paralyzed man, we'll call him Sammy Joe, okay? So Bubba, Billy Bob, Daryl, the other brother Daryl, and Sammy Joe. And they had a whatever it takes spirit to bring their friend, Sammy Joe, into the presence of Jesus. Now let's unpack the story even more and see what they did, even in spite of the things that were around them. First of all, they had a whatever it takes spirit in spite of the obstacles. Now think about these boys. Here they coming together. They heard that Jesus was in town. The house was full. And they said, oh, let's go get Sammy Joe, Bubba. And Billy Bob said, oh, that's a great idea. And Daryl and Derek, And they all gather down there and they pick up Sammy Joe and they wrap him up and tie him up and get him there on the cot. And they're hauling him, sweating through the arid sun of Israel. And they're getting there in the Galilean area of Capernaum. And they get there and all of a sudden, whoa, man, who let all the people out? I mean, the place was full. The house is full. You couldn't get inside the door. There's so many. Now, if they were good Baptists, they'd just called it a day and gone and get some fried chicken. But no, they decided to persevere. They decided to do whatever it took to bring their friend into the presence of Jesus. So the Bible describes that they're on the roof now. Now, I want you to think about it because they had the obstacle of getting on the roof. You see, their staircase in the Israel history was not a typical staircase brought out by the Disabilities Act that we all have to adhere to. Their staircase was almost like a ladder. I mean, it was just short of being a ladder. It was a little bit angled like this. So they literally had to bring a paralyzed grown man up that ladder to the roof. Now, that's a hard thing to do. I could imagine them figuring out how to strap them in and then bringing them up. And about halfway, Billy Bob drops them. And they had to pick them back up and get them back up again and then drop them again. And finally, the third time was a charm, and they get them up on the roof. That's obstacle number two. But now they're facing obstacle number three. Typically, the Israeli home had a skylight, but this house doesn't have that. And so they're going to have to figure out how to get in through the roof down into the presence of Jesus. So Bubba looks to Billy Bob and said, "Did you bring the shovel?" "Oh, doggone it, I forgot it." So he has to run home and get the shovel. And then Daryl, they start digging. Finally, we're getting some headway here. We're finally cleaning out the dirt. We're finally getting that man into the presence of Jesus. They go through that obstacle. Now, how do we get Sammy Joe down to Jesus? Well, let's go find some ropes. So there must have been a MacGyver there somewhere because he found some ropes. They tied up the cot and Billy Bob and had one side and Daryl had another side and Bubba had one side and the other Daryl had the other side. And now Sammy Joe's coming down into the very presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, let's go down to the floor for just a moment. Now, just imagine with me as all of this was happening. Jesus was preaching his heart out and everything was going on and everybody was listening and everybody was in awe of what he was saying. And all of a sudden, there's some dirt clods kind of coming out of the sky. And boom, 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 it starts sprinkling Jesus. And he's kind of looking, what's going on here? Then he looks up and there's a cleaned out hole. And Bubba and Billy Bob, they're licking in the hole and they're waving at everybody, you know. And Daryl, and they're waving at everybody. Then here comes Sammy Joe into the very presence of the Lord. And it's not going to be church, normal church that day, okay? Now Sammy Joe's in their presence. I can imagine Jesus looking up at those boys and saying, "Bubba, Billy Bob, Daryl, y'all just won't do. My goodness, you boys have that whatever it takes spirit." Because the Bible says he saw their faith. Does Jesus see your faith and my faith? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to lower our friend in the very presence of Jesus? What kind of obstacles that we have to deal with? I mentioned a few of them a moment ago. We have race issues, poverty issues, crime issues. We deal with consumer religion around us. We've got physical issues. Some of us, you know, we're kind of getting older. What don't hurt don't work anymore. And we, you know, we kind of deal with some struggles. My mama used to say that arthritis was God's way of saying, "You're not dead yet, but I got my eye on you." Well, you know, we all kind of deal with struggles and issues. And yet the compelling Holy Spirit in our heart reminds us of that neighbor down the street, or that homeless man at the Burger King, or that man right around the corner, or that woman around the corner that just needs Jesus. Are we going to do whatever it takes to wrap them up and bring those paralyzed by sin and darkness and the struggles on their life into the very presence of the Lord? Are we fighting whatever obstacles there are in order to get people in the presence of Jesus? You know, it's easy to say, "I can't do it," or "I won't do it." It's easy to say that. But all the Lord wants us to have a want-to heart. Amen? A spirit that says, "Hey, I want to bring that person in the presence of the Lord. A positive spirit. Someone that doesn't say that's negative, but someone that's positive. I heard about a doctor one day that was a psychologist that was studying two boys, young boys. One was a real negative boy, critical of everything, always pessimistic. And he put him in a room full of toys that a 10-year-old would want. I mean, they had bicycles and all kinds of Nintendo stuff and all that kind of stuff. And they put him in that room to study him for about 10 minutes. He had another boy, he's real positive, real optimistic, real a get-goer, one that would have a whatever-it-takes spirit, someone that had a yes in the hump in his spirit. Put him in another room, but that room was full of horse manure. He just put him in there, and he studied him for about 10 or 15 minutes. He came to the boy that was so critical and negative and pessimistic. He opened up the door after 15 minutes. The boy was just sitting in the corner, hadn't touched a thing. He asked him, he said, son, why didn't you play with the toys? He said, well, they're not really my toys. I know you're going to take them away from me. And you know, I'm just not interested and blah, 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 blah. And so he sat in the corner. He went over to the positive boy's room and opened up the door. And the boy was digging in that horse manure a mile long. Man, just digging as fast as he could. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, I don't know, but there's bound to be a pony at the bottom of this somewhere. Well, you know, I don't know about you, I think people smile on those that have a whatever it takes spirit. Our Savior does. He sees our faith. Do you have a whatever it takes spirit in spite of the obstacles? Number two, he had a whatever it takes spirit. These boys, Bubba, Billy, Bob, Daryl, and the other brother, Daryl. They had whatever it takes spirit to bring their friend Sammy Job into the presence of Jesus, even spite the obstinacy. You know, anytime you try to do something, there's probably going to be somebody that's going to be against it. You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to be critical of it. There's going to be somebody that's going to say no to your yes spirit. There's going to be someone who will say, well, I never. Well, I bet they have, but, you know, they're going to have that kind of spirit. They have the gift of agitation. They have the gift of criticism. And y'all know, y'all been there, done that, got the t-shirt on the factory. You know what I'm talking about. And they're in that church where Jesus was in that home that day, in the very presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was a group of fellows on the front row who had that kind of critical spirit. And they were kind of arrogant about it. They were using the Bible as an authority of their critical spirit. And so they looked to him and they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Because you see, Jesus had that Sammy Joe in front of him, and instead of just saying immediately, why don't you stand up and walk, he looked to him and he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. By the way, church, no matter what our ailment may be, the greatest need of all men and women, boys and girls, is the need of the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need. It costs the greatest price. It brings the greatest blessing with the most lasting result. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And that brought up the critic brigade. All of a sudden they're saying, who can forgive sins but God and God alone? Oh, I never did that. You know, they're probably saying other things too, like, who's going to pay for that roof up there, you know? And, well, we ain't never done it that way before. I mean, you know, there was just all that kind of stuff, if you will, right in the very presence of the Lord. But yet these men were willing to do that. And I want you to think about that. They were family in that community. They knew one another. They probably knew that Uncle Fred and Uncle Junior and a few other uncles were down there on that front row. They probably knew that they were not going to be too happy about the tearing up the roof and all the disturbance of the church and everything else that happened that day. But it didn't matter. They wanted to bring their friend in the presence of Jesus because his forgiveness and his healing was more important than anything else. So even despite the criticism, they were willing to do that. Did you notice their spirit? The guys that were doing whatever it takes, Jesus saw their faith. The guys that were on the front row that were just being a bummer in the midst of just the glory of God, he looked to them and said, why are you thinking these things? Why is your spirit this way? Why is your attitude that way? I just turned 59 the other day. And I tell you what, I just want to live the rest of my life, Jesus, seeing my faith, not look into my heart and say, Neil, why are you behaving that way? Why is your attitude that way? Because let's be honest, folks, before we point a finger at those little critics down on the road, aren't I right that has there ever been a time where you didn't like something going on at church, or maybe you just had that kind of spirit where you just, you just were kind of whining and complaining? Now, I'm going to raise my hand. Let's just see if we're 100% here today. Is that, could that be 100% of all of us here? So before we point a finger to say, yeah, I know that person, let's remember three of them will point right back at us, okay? And there are some times where Jesus sees our faith, and there are some times he takes us to the woodshed and says, now why are you acting like that? Why are you behaving like that? Jesus invites us every day to deny ourselves daily and take up his cross and follow him. He said to these boys, why are you acting like that? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. I say to Sammy Joe, pick up that mat of yours. Stand up and walk. I want y'all to just kind of picture with me. Y'all just get with me for a moment. Okay? Here he's down here on the front, you know, and there he's just all laid out. He's looking at Sammy Joe. He says, Sammy Joe, you paralyzed man, now you stand up and get up your mat and go home. And all of a sudden he stood up. Now, I have two doctor daughters, and they said there's another miracle right there, because often when you've been paralyzed so long, it just takes a while for the muscles to get working again. But yet this guy immediately stood up, and he took up his mat and started walking home. I could just imagine as everybody's cheering and everybody's oohing and aahing, and those guys on the front row, I could just imagine Sammy Joe going, Yeah, I mean, I could imagine he said, who's your daddy now? I mean, you know, he was probably, kind of making fun of those boys, and yet there was that spirit of hallelujah. Oh, look what the Lord had done. In fact, the Bible says, and notice this, this is really interesting. This amazed everyone. Now, I've read this a million times, but all of a sudden the other day when I was kind of getting ready for this message today, it dawned on me, everyone meant everyone. That meant Bubba, Billy, Bob, Daryl, Brother Daryl. That meant all the congregants. That also meant the critics. Everybody there stood in awe, amazed of what the Lord has done. I was whispering to your pastor a moment ago. He asked me, what's the greatest need in this area? I said, prayer. Most of our churches have just forgotten that Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or ask. We've failed to realize that the Lord is still the one who wrote in the Scriptures, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And I say to you, dear friends at Holland Avenue today, let's be amazed at what the Lord can do in changing lives. And let's be faithful to do whatever it takes. I came from seminary to Birmingham to pastor. And the church, the Interstate 20, it was over in Ensley. The Interstate 20, 5920 had become our liability. It split the community, and we had a major leave of that area. But what became our liability later became our asset, because now those that lived on the other side of the mountain could get on the interstate and get to us quickly. And so we were able to maintain the stability, at least for a while, of those that were still in the church, though they lived 25 miles away, you know. And we were sitting there and we're just looking, oh, what we're going to do? What we, you know, we used to be 700, now we're down to 100. And we got this church that would hold 1,500. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There used to be the heyday, 1939 and the 1940s. Used to be the heyday. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? One of the boys in the church says, you know, let's start us a bus ministry. We had three buses outside and two or three vans. They said, let's just start us up a bus ministry. If they don't come to us, let's just go to them. Let's bring them in and let's just love on them. They might be children, but let's just love on them. Now, it's going to get messy, but y'all just, you know, we're just going to bring them in. And so we did. And so we got them in and we started learning. There were some things that we did right and some things we didn't do right, but there was a whatever it takes spirit in the church, and we were going to do whatever it took to bring the salvation of souls in the Ensley area. I'll never forget these kids that came in. One of them's name was Dee Dee, and one of their names was Lou Ann. And Dee Dee and Lou Ann had come from a trailer area that was just, you know, really, really bad, and they'd come into our church, and they were just wild. I mean, they had ADD on steroids. They were just all over the place, you know. And we didn't quite know what to do with that. You know, some people would try to hurt them and some people would try to hurt them. I mean, you know, it was just, you know, just what are we going to do with these kids? One day I was preaching away and it was kind of a quiet day like today where the air conditioner's not on, the heater's not on. And all of a sudden I heard they had gotten in the back in the baptistry. We had just baptized and you could hear them climbing up the stairs. And Lou Ann's saying to Dee Dee, "Dee Dee, I think there's a big pond up here somewhere, you know." And I'm thinking, "Oh Lord, deacons, take charge. I know what was coming." And before the deacons could get to them, those kids had dived into the baptistry. I mean, you could hear one go, "Oh, come on!" And boom, she was splashing. The other one coming right behind them with a big somersault. We wiped out the base section, Chris, with all of the water that came that day. We had a lot of folks that were real forgiving, some other folks that were sitting on the front row going, "Well, I never, you know. But we got through it as a church, and we did whatever it takes in order to bring those kids to Christ. Now, I want to tell you the rest of the story. Those kids were 8 or 9 years old, and then they started growing up. Some of our adults started spiritually adopting them, just loving on them, being the spiritual parents that they ought to be. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all have done that to many and many a child here at Highland Avenue. They were doing the same thing to them. They took one of them who wanted to be a teacher. They took her to Judson College, got her a teacher scholarship, and she went there. Took the other one, they put her in ROTC at University of Alabama, and she served there. You know what the rest of that story is? The one that did ROTC, she just retired as a general in the United States Army. The one that was the teacher over at Judson, she went on to Southwestern Seminary. She met her husband there, and they've been your Southern Baptist missionary in Brazil, and they're still there today. God's people doing whatever it takes to do whatever it takes. I know we are but a few, but the Lord didn't ask us how many we had. He just asked us, "Are you faithful?" He wants to see our faith. Let's just do whatever it takes. Amen? Amen. Father, give us the strength to act like a Bubba and a Billy Bob and a Daryl and another brother Daryl. And Lord, help us to bring the Sammy Joes to Jesus. And Lord, when that happens, may the church rejoice and give glory to you. In Christ's name, amen.